Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It is a great blessing that we may be here to join in worship of our triune God. A hearty welcome to all our brothers and sisters, but also to those who have joined us via the live stream this afternoon. May the preaching of the gospel message direct our hearts and minds in faith and trust to our Saviour Jesus Christ, and cause us to live our lives to the praise of him. Consistory has the following announcements. The congregation is hereby reminded that next week Sunday's morning service will be conducted at the normal time of 9:30 at the Lumen Christi College in Gosnells. Consistory as elders only will meet tomorrow evening, the Lord willing, at 7:30 p.m. in the consistory room. The brothers and sisters who intend to make public profession of their faith next week Sunday are hereby invited to meet with the consistory tomorrow evening at 7:30. The congregation is hereby reminded of the wedding of Brother Rael Vias and Sister Rosalie van der Laan, which will take place, the Lord willing, this coming Saturday, the 20th of November, at 12 noon in the Free Reform Church of Mount Azura, with Reverend D. Poppy officiating. This afternoon, we may welcome Reverend Stephen Mullen from the Free Reform Church of Darling Downs to our pulpit. Before we commence, let us sing together from hymn 36, verse 1.
Let us rise to worship the Lord. As congregation, it is our confession that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Receive now the greeting of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us praise God by singing together from Psalm 131, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Together with the Church of all times and places, let us now make profession of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed by singing together hymn 1. Let us now come before the Lord in prayer and ask for a blessing over the proclamation of the gospel. Our Father in heaven, we come to you to praise your most holy name. Father, we praise you for your great glory. You dwell in unapproachable light. How great you are. We praise you for your holiness. Sin cannot stand before you. We praise you for your power. We see your power in your mighty work of creation. You called the universe into existence simply by speaking. We praise you, Lord, for your wisdom in which you continue to govern all things. In such a way that you even use the wicked deeds of evil men as you carry out your plan. And then we think especially of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wicked men put him to death, but thereby you brought salvation. How great is your wisdom! We thank you and praise you for your great love, that you do provide for the needs of your creatures, that you give us many good things. We praise you for your faithfulness as you have demonstrated that throughout the ages. You made promises hundreds, even thousands of years ago, and you do not forget, and you continue to fulfill. We praise you for your mercy that you come to sinners, that you establish a relationship with them, and that you promise them eternal life, a gift undeserved. Lord, we rejoice in your great mercy. And as your people, we have assembled together to hear your word this afternoon. And we confess that we are dependent on you to work in us, in our midst, in our hearts, through your word and Holy Spirit. Father, will you work faith through the preaching this afternoon? Will you strengthen faith through the preaching this afternoon that we may grow in our knowledge of you, grow in our knowledge of what it means to pray. May we be built up in the true doctrine. May we confess it together and grow in our understanding of how to live by the true doctrine. Guide me to faithfully and clearly proclaim your word. Give us what we need to take it in, to work with it. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this afternoon we pay attention to what God has revealed about the petition of the Lord's Prayer, Your Kingdom Come, as the church has summarized that scriptural teaching, and we confess it in Lord's Day 48. And in connection with that Lord's Day, we're going to read from two passages of God's Word. First of all, we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 1, read the verses 9 through 18, and then we're going to pay attention to 2 Peter chapter 3. So first of all, Colossians chapter 1, the verses 9 through 18. Where the Apostle Paul writes as follows, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." We turn now to the second letter of the Apostle Peter, and we read the third chapter of that letter. Second Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So far, the reading of God's word. Congregation, let us now sing about the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the words of hymn 19, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. Hymn 19, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
The text for this afternoon's proclamation of the gospel is God's revelation about the second petition of the prayer, as the church has summarized that, and we confess it in Lord's Day 48, page 561 of our books of praise, Lord's Day 48, where it is asked and answered. What is the second petition? Your kingdom come. That is, so rule us by your word and spirit that more and more we submit to you. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the works of the devil, every power that raises itself against you and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do all this until the fullness of your kingdom comes, wherein you will be all in all. And after the preaching of the gospel, our Amen song will be Psalm 10, stanzas 5 and 7. Psalm 10, stanzas 5 and 7 after the sermon. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when you really look forward to something, you can't wait for the day to come. Maybe you've been waiting to visit some family overseas and you can see finally the end in sight. Restrictions being lifted, looking forward to that overseas trip. Or you're getting married in the next little while and you're eagerly looking forward to your wedding. You just can't wait for it to come. And brothers and sisters, is that how you feel about the coming of the kingdom? Something you just can't wait to see. And is that what drives you to prayer? Drives you to pray this second petition earnestly? Your kingdom come. And this afternoon I proclaim to you God's revelation about this petition under this theme: pray for the coming of the kingdom in a world full of rebellion and opposition. And we'll see, first of all, pray for the advance of the rule of God's word. Secondly, pray for the destruction of the works of the devil. And thirdly, pray with confidence. So pray for the coming of the kingdom in a world full of rebellion and opposition. Pray for the advance of the rule of God's word. Pray for the destruction of the works of the devil. And finally, pray with confidence. So our first point then, pray for the advance of the rule of God's word. So at this point, we're going to, first of all, pay attention to the positive picture of the advance of the rule of God's word and see how that's connected to the coming of the kingdom. Because really, you could say the kingdom of God is when he is lovingly acknowledged and submitted to as king. When people acknowledge that God is king and they submit to him, they love him. And of course, that's how it was before the fall into sin. God created mankind, put him on the earth, told him to rule over the earth, but said, you have to acknowledge me, submit to me. And man gladly did that, honored God as king and listened to what God said. But then the fall into sin broke apart that situation of paradise. When everything was in harmony and in submission to God the king, man took the side of the enemy, and instead of following what God said, he did what the enemy said. And so you get the thinking of the enemy, the desires and lusts of the flesh, corrupting life on this earth. then God is not acknowledged as king and submitted to, but the evil one. But then we read in Deuteronomy 17, where God speaks to his people about when they would appoint a king, when they would have a king in their midst. The Lord said in his law, then that king has to rule the people according to my law. So God actually said that the king would have to write his own copy of the law for himself, so that he wouldn't lift up his heart above the people like a heathen tyrant who his own will was law. But he would have to submit to God and rule God's people according to God's law. And that's how in the kingdom of God's people, then God would restore his rule as their king according to the law. Deuteronomy 17 would rule them according to God's law, God's wisdom. And although Saul might have started out with the hopes of the people behind him, it soon became clear that that's not how he was going to rule God's people, by submitting to God. But it was David, that man after God's heart, where we really see the beginning of that restoration of the rule of God, the rule of God's word over his people through David. But there's the ups and downs of the Old Testament kingship. It's not always good when you look at the Old Testament, and yet in the midst of that, God promises something greater. And we sang from that hymn 19, which is a versification of what we read in Isaiah chapter 9, where God made those promises about what was coming, about the son that would be born to God's people, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas time. And then God said about that through Isaiah, of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. So God promised a king who would come, who would establish the kingdom with justice and with righteousness, where people would submit to God the king. And according to God's promise, the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. And when he began his public ministry, what was one of the first things he started teaching? He took over from John the Baptist, as it were, and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He called the people to repent, to show in their lives submission to that kingdom that they were citizens. He gave the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, where he explained how they were to live as faithful citizens of the kingdom of heaven, showing in their lives that they were submitting to God the King. And then he did his work, not only teaching, but also eventually suffering that rejection, that arrest, that crucifixion, being put to death. But then he was raised from the dead. And before he ascended into heaven, then he commanded his apostles. And I think of what we read in Luke chapter 24. He said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." That to proclaim that doctrine of repentance, that to proclaim forgiveness to the ends of the earth. But not only did he send forth his apostles to bring that message of repentance to the ends of the earth, he also granted that. And I think of what the apostles say in Acts chapter 5, where they're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ to the Sanhedrin, and this is what they say about the Lord Jesus Christ: "God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is a king like no other. He not only sent forth that message of repentance, but he also from heaven gives repentance to people so that they are brought into submission to the king. He's a king like no other. He's a king that can actually work in the hearts of people that they do submit to God. And so in Matthew 13, when he gave that parable of the sower who went out to sow, he speaks about the word of the kingdom. The word which makes the kingdom advance. As people are brought into submission. That word that proclaims Christ and his saving work. Proclaims that to sinners to bring them to repentance and then calling people to serve in obedience to the king. That's the word of the kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ came, the great king. And he works that submission through the preaching of the gospel so that people submit to God. And then he also gave the Holy Spirit who would renew God's people unto holy living so that they would live through the Spirit in submission to the King. Such is the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, congregation, you think about it, the extent of the rule of the Word. We read from Colossians chapter 1. And that really underlines for us how broad is the kingdom word of Christ. How broad is the kingdom? The Apostle Paul writes there in verse 16. He says, "For by Christ all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him. And he that is Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together." In other words, every part of life is connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King, the promised King. Every part of life is to be brought into submission to Christ. And so we have a picture. The Lord Jesus sent forth the apostles and said, "Go and gather in the nations, bring more people into submission to me, the King." But then the scriptures also make clear that submitting to the King is going to affect every part of your life. And that's what you are to then pray for. Your kingdom come. What does that mean? What is the second petition? Your kingdom come. So rule us by your word and spirit that more and more we submit to you. What you're doing is praying to God, "Lord, grant that every last nook and cranny of my life might be brought into submission to my King. That my family life, and the practices and habits that we have there, the way we live together in our families, the entertainment we enjoy, the way we look after others, the kind of attitudes we have in our homes, that's all in submission to Christ the King. That my investments and the way I deal with them, that shows that I believe that Jesus Christ is King. The way I conduct my business, the way I'm involved with Reformed education, the work of caring for the elderly, that all those things might be done in submission to Christ's kingship, because it's all connected to Him. That my entertainment, that it might clearly be seen from my entertainment that Christ is King." And then you think, congregation, of how the word works to bring about that every last nook and cranny. Preaching from the pulpit, that word of the kingdom, as God's people are called to submit all of their life to their King. The reading of the scriptures as we search the scriptures to understand what the life of the kingdom looks like. But also more, you think of the task you have as parents, what you promised when your children were baptized, that you would train your children. Because you want them in every part of life to see the connection to Christ their King and how to live in submission to Him. It means reading good study books, taking a book that helps unpack some part of life, and figuring out what is the Lord's will and really deepening in our understanding, listening to someone who's done a lot of study on that. Reading good magazines, Christian magazines. The work we do in our Bible study clubs. That we help each other listen to the Word of God, that the Word of God might affect every part of life. You think of the work that goes on in Reformed schooling, where the teachers are busy training the students so that they see that every part of life is to be lived in connection and submission to Christ the King. Reading reliable articles off the internet, listening to edifying podcasts to really help us think in a Christian, Christ-submissive way. When you pray, "Your kingdom come," you're praying, "God, may all those things be blessed. Your word may more and more rule and reach into every last nook and cranny of our life." Congregation, does the glory of the King, does that grab you? Does that make you excited that His rule over every last part of life is acknowledged? So that you earnestly pray this petition, "Lord, your kingdom come." Think of what the Apostle Peter said of what we're headed towards. 2 Peter 3 verse 13, "According to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, where in which everything will be done in complete submission to our heavenly King." Does that future goal, does that grab you, and does that make you cry out this petition? I think of the Apostle Paul. It comes up a number of times in the beginning of his letters where he prays for the growth of God's people. He thanks the Lord for what he sees in their midst and how they're bringing their lives into submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he often straight away adds a prayer that that may continue and grow. I think of Philippians chapter 1 as an example. Philippians 1, verse 9 through 11. Where he says, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent." In other words, living your lives and doing what is right in every part to the glory of Christ, "and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ." How he prayed for the coming of the kingdom. So we pray that when we pray this petition, we're asking God, let it be that every part of our life is in submission to your word, but we're also praying that more may be brought to that. Preserve and increase your church. Increase, grant that there may be more people who submit. That uncountable number that we read about in Revelation, that may come soon. There's an urgency. Please, may it be soon. You're praying for a blessing over mission. You're praying for a blessing over the work that's taking place in Papua New Guinea. And in other places in this world, that more may be gathered in. You're praying for a blessing over our witnessing in our communities, in our workplace and neighborhoods, that others may be gathered in and submit to Christ the King. You're praying too for natural increase. Reformed families may see their responsibility to also seek children from the Lord. Not bringing all kinds of reasons in place to defer those things, but to seek those things from the Lord, children, to build up His kingdom. And then we understand too that we pray for the preservation of the church. When we understand that the kingdom is advanced through the word of God going forth, we know that the church needs to be preserved so that the gospel may continue to be preached, that gospel that is that word of the kingdom. With this petition, you're praying also for the consistory and for their oversight over the pulpit, that they may be able to carry that out faithfully. You're praying for your minister, that he may faithfully proclaim the fullness of the gospel of the kingdom. May your kingdom come, may your word be heard. Kingdom advances as the word goes forth into the nooks and crannies of our life, as the word brings more people into submission. And that brings us to our second point, in which we also pray for the destruction of the works of the devil. So first point, praying for the advance of the rule of God's word in a positive way. And secondly, we're also praying for the destruction of the works of the devil. You can understand, brothers and sisters, that there's going to be a a struggle, a tension, an opposition between the devil and the expansion of the kingdom of God. Because as the kingdom of God expands, whether more people being brought in, also through people bringing more and more of their life into submission to God, that means the devil's dominion is going to be pushed back. And so the devil is going to stand opposed to the rule of the Word of God. And he wants people to throw off God's rule. He doesn't want God in Christ to be recognized as king. And so he's going to work hard for that. And he does work hard for that. Through false teaching. To confuse God's people, to lead them astray. Just read through the letters of the New Testament. How often don't the apostles, Paul, and Peter, Jude, and so on, how often don't they warn about false teaching? It's so dangerous, and Paul explains why in Titus chapter 1, when he says to Titus, he speaks about the knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness. Knowledge of the truth, faithful teaching, that's going to lead to faithful living, where people lead their lives in submission to God the King. Why, if he can confuse the true doctrine, if he can undermine it, he's going to be able to advance his kingdom. Yes, the devil will use persecution to tell God's people to stop preaching the word. You think of the oppression that many of our brothers and sisters throughout this world experience. Think North Korea, even in China, in some Muslim countries where there's great oppression against the Word of God, against churches gathering and being able to worship God and hear His Word. He also can work through the kingdoms of man to advance His rule. Think of prophecies of Daniel, or the writings of Daniel, the early chapters of that book, where Nebuchadnezzar has that vision of all the glorious kingdoms of this world, which eventually the coming of the kingdom of God destroys. But those powers that raise themselves against God's rule, that show the glory of man, this is what man is capable of. Fall down and worship man and his glory, his power and ability. In congregation, we continue to see the opposition against the kingdom in the ongoing secularization of our society today, of our Western society. You know, it's good even for our unbelieving society when the Word rules and has influence. I think of the many good things that we've got in our Western civilization, the protection of life, that a human life is precious, a healthcare system which therefore underlines that. The fact that we have rule of law, that you can't just take your neighbor's stuff and exploit it and get away with it. These are good things. But what we see in our society is an ongoing secularization, a rejection of any influence of the Word of God. And it's a throwing off of God's rule. We saw that with the bringing in of same-sex marriage. We see the many ways in which the family is attacked. You think also of abortion, and not just allowing it, but even sometimes celebrating it. It wasn't that long ago that it was a legislature somewhere in America that celebrated liberalizing laws of abortion, celebrating the fact that you're more able to kill babies. We've recently experienced the changes in the laws around euthanasia. This is all throwing off the rule of God. And then the devil comes with temptations to God's people to throw off the rule of Christ. He doesn't want you in your lives to submit to Christ in everything, that you honor God and serve God. He wants you to serve lust and to celebrate those kind of things. The devil would be happy to see if when you go through difficulties, and in different ways, in different parts of our life, we do experience difficulties. and trials, and he can be deep, and the devil would love it if then we, as it were, curse God, that advice that Job's wife gave to him, or that we become bitter and resentful, or that we think we're justified in sinning when others have hurt us. The devil would have us use difficulties to throw off God's rule. Our confession also summarizes the works of the devil also as conspiracies against your holy word. You know what a conspiracy is? Conspiracy is hidden secret plotting, plots made in secret, plans made in secret, with evil intent. In congregation, then you think back to the first point. All the ways in which the rule of the word, the rule of the word advances through listening to the preaching, through reading good material, through Bible study, through parents teaching their children, all those things. There's going to be conspiracies undermining those things and working at that. If you can get the parents too busy with all kinds of other things, so they don't have that time to teach their children. You think of an entertainment culture, and our culture is saturated in that, which people learn to just consume, sit back and take it all in, which attacks the reading ability of God's people. You think of the forces at work to give us a secular perspective. The way the news is published, other issues. I think the power of the television to secularize society, to make people think that the Word of God isn't relevant to the questions that face us in Australian society today. Even just saying that certain things are more important, it can weaken our critical thinking abilities. And then you think congregation. And I think this is one that we probably all struggle with to one degree or another, the distraction of that amazing piece of technology called the phone. How it distracts God's people. How it fills their lives with endless things to be busy with. But then there's less time to read the Word of God. Less time to think about those things. Not that the phone is evil. Think of all the good things that are done, even in mission work and contact with Christians in various places in the world through the use of the phone. This technology is amazing. It's also very, very powerful. And it can lead God's people away. It can distract them from the Word of God. All different ways. But the enemy is driving to reverse that, what's happening, what we read about in Colossians 1, verse 13, where we've been saved. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, to reverse that around and bring us back into the bondage of the kingdom of darkness. And you've been taught to pray, "Your kingdom come. Lord, may all that enmity and opposition, may it all come to nothing. Let the powers who oppose the Lord Jesus Christ be brought to nothing. May Christ's kingship advance. May those conspiracies be exposed and brought to nothing. Through us seeing through the attacks, through us realizing the dangers we are in, through parents doing their task of warning and guiding their children, through office bearers speaking to us and warning us and helping us to see the conspiracies that come our way. Through warnings and instruction from the pulpit being heeded, may the conspiracies be exposed and brought to nothing. Your kingdom come." And yes, the enemy goes around like a roaring lion, but congregation, we can pray because of the strength of Christ's victory on Golgotha. There he conquered the prince of this world. That's a victory. And yes, the devil does go around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But it's only a matter of time before he is completely defeated. The victory in principle has been given. Soon you'll also see that in practice completely, and that's why in the third point we'll pay attention to how we can pray with confidence. And congregation, you can be so confident that the kingdom will come. And that's why you can pray with confidence. Because of all the promises, those promises go back to the beginning of the Bible. Even before Adam and Eve had been kicked out of the Garden of Eden, they were still in the garden when the Lord said that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, will destroy him. Those promises have continued. When God gave those promises we referred to earlier in Isaiah 9 about the coming King, the Lord Jesus Christ, of the increase of his government and kingdom, there will be no end. Think of the promise that the Apostle Paul gave to the church in Rome to really encourage them living in a godless society. And he says in chapter 16, he says, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." What a comforting promise. Think of that promise we read from 2 Peter chapter 3. According to his promise, we wait for a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And then you think of that picture in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Congregation, the outcome is certain. Also, there is that promise of the Holy Spirit. You would have heard about it again this morning in the baptism form. That he will preserve us so that we will be without spot or blemish among the assembly of God's elect in life eternal. We've got those promises about the coming of the kingdom, the certainty of the kingdom, the preservation of the Spirit to hold us on for that kingdom. That's why you can pray with confidence. Not that there won't be setbacks. You only have to look at the history of the church throughout the ages and you see times of defamation. Times when the Word of God was covered over in the dust of human ideas and superstition and all that, and then the truth gets covered over, and that affects all of life and living in submission to God the King. There have been times of setbacks. And also, not all members of the church are elect. There are also those in the church who grow up and rebel against the Lord and then are cut off. We have that sure promise of the Lord. The Lord knows those who are His. He will hold on to them. That kingdom will come. And the end will come and the victory will be sure. Not that perfection will be reached in this life. It will come. But it'll only come through the work of Christ. And even the faithful on the last day, they won't be perfect. They too will need cleansing. But the kingdom will come in which righteousness dwells, in which all is done in submission to Him. It's been promised. He is coming. He will return on the clouds of heaven. He has promised you that, congregation. All His enemies will be brought to nothing. That's where we're headed. Are you excited about that? Pray with confidence for the fullness to come. Amen. Thank you. Let us come before the Lord in prayer and thanksgiving. Our Father in heaven, we pray for the coming of your kingdom. Grant that your kingdom may come in our lives, that we in every part of our life may submit to Christ our King, that it may be seen how every part of our life is connected to submitting to him, our work, our marriages, our family life, our investments, our holidays, our recreation, our political involvement, our goals, that it may be clear that we are submitting to Christ. Help us to see how to do that. May your word advance in our lives. To that end, we also bless the study of your word. Bless the Bible study clubs in which we help each other to understand how to apply your word and live according to it. Bless our other reading, our study, as we come to understand your word and its implications. Help us to see through the conspiracies that the devil mounts against your word and its rule. Father, preserve your church. Keep us faithful as local church. Bless the supervision of the preaching Sunday by Sunday. Pray that you will continue to equip Reverend Poppy to faithfully preach your word. And may that word be mighty in its effect, that our lives may be brought more and more into submission. Bless us in our families. Bless us with children, lots of children, that you would also gather in the church in that way. And grant that we may also train the next generation, that we may teach them how to submit to Christ in all parts of life. To that end, we also bless the work of reformed education, that the teachers may have what they need as they work with the curriculum requirements, as they equip the young people of the church to be able to serve you as prophets, priests, and kings in all the different subject areas. Bless the work of mission. Grant that many more people may come to know our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our witnessing, our talking with others in the community around us in various ways about the hope of the gospel, that many more may be gathered in, that your church may be built up. And we pray that soon all Satan's servants may be removed from the earth. This world belongs to you, and we pray for the coming of that great and final day. Preserve us for that day. How we look forward to it, for that new earth in which righteousness dwells. May that day come soon. Bless us as we go from here. Be with us as we go about our daily tasks in the coming week. May your kingdom come. Hear us in Christ's name. Amen. You now have opportunity to bring your gifts for the Ministry of Mercy for Pindari. And after the offering, let us rise and sing together from Psalm 47, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Let us lift up our hearts to the Lord, receive his blessing, and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.